Well, we're in Romans chapter 3, and we stopped last time at verse number 12. Those listening by other means, give us a call at 856-261-9018 if you want to call us, or questions at vftbc.org or emails. Romans chapter 3. Let's begin with verse 12. We took it up last week, but 12, 13, and 14 from Romans 3, beginning together at verse number 12. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. All right, to verse number 12. They are all gone out of the way. Who's the they refer to here? Look at verse 9. What does the they refer to? Who is it? Oh, that's right. Now, anybody else that's not a Jew or a Gentile in the whole world?
Nope.
No, either a Jew or a Gentile, Jew or non-Jew. So it says they are all gone out of the way. What way are they going out of? What way have they gone out of? What is it?
The way.
The way of righteousness, the way of the Lord, the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does God say their state has become because they've gone out of the way?
Unprofitable.
Unprofitable. What does unprofitable mean?
Worthless.
Worthless.
No value.
Pastor Dan.
The meter or someone said it's not a, they can't hear very well. Is the meter registering right? Am I talking?
Well, I think now it's better, but it's back there in the distance. See, because we have, so I think right now they'll be able to
hear me.
I think they'll be able to hear now.
Can you hear me? Okay,
yes.
Let me know.
They can hear you better, but Pastor, Brother Bill is a little bit soft. So, all right. So, unprofitable about this. Everybody who's not a Jew and a Gentile, but God says they've gone out of the way, there's not good, not one. Do they all agree they're unprofitable? What does a sinner think of themselves, Jesus?
They think they cast me out.
They cast me out. They're all fine. Nothing problem. God's, what is it? They might think they're a good person. What is God's assessment of them? Unprofitable. No good. Unprofitable.
What?
Yes.
What's the difference between it? I know everybody knows Jewish people. Right?
Uh-huh.
But Gentile, what is that? Is it just non-believers don't believe in Jewish religion?
Yeah, anybody that's not a Jew, God considers to be a Gentile. That's it.
That's
it. Jews are one class of people. Everybody else in the whole world, whether they're Hindus or Buddhists or whatever, if they're not Jews, God considers to be a Gentile. Anna.
Heritage,
but then they would still be a Jew, even if they didn't practice Judaism.
Yeah, because of their nationality. Yeah, Pastor Dan. But we, who are believers, are engrafted in. The base, a lot of Christianity is based off of Judaism. It's a Jewish prophets under this time. You know, so one always wants to ask if I was a Jew. And if the correct answer is yes, I'm engrafted in.
In that sense, into the body of Christ. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says there are three kinds of people. What are they?
Jews, Gentiles,
Christians. Even though your nationality may be Jewish or Gentile, if you're genuinely born again and you're a genuine true Christian, you now are Christian. And so God doesn't look at you as a Jew or Gentile. Yes,
in the context of the natural vine.
Yes.
If God's stirring up the natural vine, How much more would it be for those that have been the other people that are not the natural vine?
Mm-hmm.
In that sense, I would say.
Right. Now, also in verse number 12, how many does God consider to be good people?
None.
Good. Not even one. As far as God's assessment, all of us, see, we're sinners, we're lost, we're without the Lord Jesus Christ, genuinely trusting Him, we're going to hell. That's it. That's the destiny for the devil and his angels. All is sin. So then in verse 13, what about the sinners, unbelieving people's throats? What about their throat? Well, how does God look at their throat? Verse 13. What is a sepulcher?
A grave.
It's a grave, it's a tomb, isn't it? It's a tomb, a place. So what does that mean about the stroke? What kind of stroke would they have if it's like filled with dead people's bones? What would it be like?
It would be like they would be, everything they would say would be death.
All right. What else do we know about dead bodies?
Smell, they
decompose. Does it decompose? Does it smell? Now, I realize with the stuff they pump into them, it doesn't smell as bad so quickly, but after a while. So, God says their throat.
Rotten.
Throat rotten to the core. Open stuff. Open, not just the closed sepulchre when you close it up, but open. Everybody can see it and smell it. It's a terrible thing. What about their tongues? What is, how, yeah, Pastor Dan.
Yes, I was probably speaking to somebody not too long ago about if somebody wanted to have an immediate burial, in other words, they didn't want to, they chose not to have an embalming, in their view, they would, the person would have to place a hermetically sealed casket that would kind of withhold that decaying process. I mean, we wouldn't withhold the decaying, but it would retain the smell of decaying.
Right.
I mean, once the body is in the vault in the ground, it goes away with, I'm not really sure if the person is accurate in their assessment.
Right.
But in other words, that's what they were thinking.
Yes. So, open sepulchre, yes. But so then, what do they do with their tongues? These unsaved Jews and Gentiles at all?
Cut them?
What is it?
Cut them out of their mouth?
Oh, no, in this verse 13. What do they do with their tongue? What is mentioned about the tongue in verse 13?
Oh, deceitful.
What does deceitful mean?
Lies.
We heard one of these men that ran for president and took a signed an oath. Will you back the one that's a nominee for the presidential? Everyone would have lying through his teeth, see? Deceitfulness.
More than one.
Oh, cool. I was saying the one just recently that spoke on the convention. But there's more than one. You're right. There are two, three, four that have done that. But deceitful. They say one thing and they do something else. It's a horrible thing. And the tongues. Does God like deceit?
No.
What does it say in Jeremiah 17:9? Heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The heart deceitful. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. That's the next verse 10, isn't it? And then, what is this about? What is an asp?
Poisonous
snake. Poison asp. Where is the poison? Where's the asp poison here?
Under the
lips. Now, what will that do if it's under the lips of unsaved Jews or Gentiles that are lost and unprofitable? Well, yeah, what will that do? What does poison do? Yes. 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 Tammy.
Well, it's a break in their speech, isn't it?
Yes.
Deadly.
Deadly. Speech is deadly and poisonous and a terrible situation. And so this verse 9 proved before Jews and Gentiles all under sin. And this is a picture of them in verse 13. They got a throat that's bad, tongues that are bad, and their lips are bad. Three different parts of their bodies, horrible. And in verse 14, what about the mouth?
Cursing.
Do you see any cursing in the world today?
All the time.
All the time. On television, used to have rules about certain things. They don't care. Blasphemy and dirty, filthy stuff.
You can't go 30 seconds on that TV while you're...
Yeah, exactly right. God's name is full of cursing. Not just... Why do you suppose God says full here? It's overflowing, abundant, cursing, and bitterness. What is bitterness? What is it? Could be part of anger. What else? Tanning? Okay. What's the opposite of bitterness?
Sweetness
and so on. So the bitterness and hatred. What is it? The gall of bitterness and the gall of bitterness. That's another thing. So full of cursing. 12, 13, 14. So let's read verse 15, 16, and 17. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of feet they have not known. What about their feet now? What are they doing with their feet? These sinful people? What is it? They want to kill people. We have ISIS wanting to kill people. I think just during 1 month, I think they racked up 3,000 to 4,000 dead. You're killing maybe 5,000. I forget the exact statistic. Swift to shed blood. They kill. That's what they want to do. Yes, Tammy. Yes, that's quite a contrast, isn't it? Feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Here, the feet shed blood. Swift to shed blood. Then in verse number 16, what is in their ways? What does that mean, in their ways?
Destruction.
Destruction? Every place they go, their ways. And misery. The people admit they're miserable. People want, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, but quite often, even a miserable person says, well, I'm all right, I'm fine, I'm happy. And if they don't think they're happy regularly, they just drink a little bit of dope or drugs or whiskey or whatever and try to make them happy with poison and with terrible situations. But
it's all temporary.
It's temporary. It doesn't last, absolutely. As we read about that just the other day in our Bible reading, the book of Proverbs, I believe. A drunken man, it's like up in the top of a mast, rough sea, back and forth. He hardly stands straight. And when he's finished, he drinks it out again. He continues to go. There's no stopping the filthiness. Misery and destruction in their ways. The way of, verse 17, what about the way of peace? What is the only way to get peace with God?
Through
trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the only way we can have peace. So, therefore now, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But what about these who are sinful and corrupt about peace? Do they understand what it is? Or do they have not known the peace? And then, let's see, we read 15, 16, 17. Let's read 18, 19, and 20 together. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. All right, verse 18. What is the fear of God? What does that mean? There's no fear of God. Reverence, all right. And also, it could be literal fear.
Atheists
are certainly part of that. In other words, if you do not believe that God is able to cast you into hell, the lake of fire for all eternity, you're not fearing God. I mean, I know we usually say fear means reverential trust. No, that's one part of it. But I think fear, literal fear, too. Phobos, that means fear also. You better fear the Lord. If you don't fear the Lord, do right. He's going to chastise even believers that are Christian people. We've got to be fearing the Lord. There's no fear of God in their eyes. Does a lot of these people even believe there is a God? No. Yes. Yes, sir.
The Bible tells us that
right.
The devils believe in Trump.
That boy is in Trump. Yeah, Linda?
I hear people that don't believe in God.
Yes. And so if they don't believe in God, there's no fear of God because who's he? He can't do anything. I don't even believe he exists, you see. It's a terrible, terrible atheistic type of thought.
And the scripture tells us.
Yes.
Fool says in his heart there is no God.
Fool says in his heart there is no God. That's right. And then 19, I think we read. What law is referred to here? What law is referred to here? The law of Moses. That's the man. The law of Moses is referred to here. It says those that are under the law. Who are under the law? What people are under the law? The Jews, all right? The Old Testament Jews under the law. In the New Testament, I guess, if they're still Jews. And what is true, what will the law do if they really see what it says in verse number 19? The knowledge of sin and yes, and what is true if they fulfill, if the law is worked out, what does God want to happen in verse number 19? What does God want to happen if they trust Christ? What else before that?
Let your mouth stop.
What does that mean? That every mouth may be stopped. What does it mean by that? In other words,
every nation bent?
That's the then.
No, nothing to say.
What does it say?
There's no argument against why, there's no argument against
yes.
their condemnation.
And in chapter 1 of Romans, there's a phrase similar to this, is there not? That you can't talk, when God judges somebody because they've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, he sends them to hell, there's no talking and arguing back, you just mouth closed, every mouth closed, can you?
It's like Job, he was having a debate with God, and he was talking to his friends, mm-hmm. and he was saying, I would reason with God, and then when it's just God's joke, mm-hmm.
Yes.
He didn't say anything at all.
Didn't say anything. So God has a way of stopping him out. In other words, every mouth stop. And what will be the result at this judgment of all the sinners of the world? What verdict will be given to these people?
Guilty.
Nobody going to pass. What's the only way to avoid being guilty before God as he judges? What's the only way? Accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, realizing you're a sinner, that Christ died for your sins, and trusting Him, believing Him, genuine faith, the only way. Otherwise, you're going to be in hell fire. But here, all the world may become guilty before God. Does the world believe this?
No
people in the world, they don't know this. There's no guilt. But the scriptures are clear, and the Bible is clear on this, is it not? Did we read 20 yet? Did we read 20? No, let's read 20, 21, and 22 together. Therefore
by the deeds of the law,
there shall be no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all men that believe, for there is no difference. Why verse 20? What does it say about the deeds of the law? What law is referred to here?
Law of Moses.
What's it say about the deeds of the law and by the deeds of the law? What's not going to happen?
No justification.
What does justify mean? What's that word mean? What is it? Made righteous or declared righteous. That's right. No flesh will be declared righteous in his sight. What does that mean? In God's sight. Do people declare themselves righteous in man's sight? No. Women's sight? They don't? Yes, they do. There's a division. Who's right? Yes, Patty.
That doesn't say, well, I, like some of the people, you know, take his emotions, right? I've kept all the commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Lord tried to show something of his own heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where he had many riches and his treasure was riches.
Yes, in other words, some people say, nothing wrong with me, I'm fine, everything's correct. So they do justify themselves in their sight. But what's the difference between man's sight and God's sight? What's the difference? God is perfect, and he sees all of our, not only our deeds, what we say, but what our thoughts are as well in our hearts. Nobody can be righteous in the sight of God, not just by, then it says, by the laws of knowledge of sin. Oh, excuse me, Anna.
Mm-hmm. But he doesn't know, he wasn't there himself, and even if he had been, he would have been able to know all the details.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas for God, as a judge, he is omniscient, he knows all things. So that was what I wanted to say.
Good, so he knows everything, doesn't he? What does this last phrase mean? By the law is the knowledge of sin. What does that mean? That's the purpose of the law. In other words, before there was the law of Moses, sin wasn't labeled. But when the law came, like for instance, the Ten Commandments, so it's ten, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. If you do that, that's sin. In other words, you got to put a law up or some rule, and you violate it. Just like 35 miles an hour in the cities. If they go 35 or 40 or 50, it's a transgression, isn't it? Dan? Oh, excuse me, Bill. All right, Bill, okay.
Until the law came, we didn't really know our sins were an offense to God.
Yes.
People probably did things that were bad.
Oh, yes.
They thought, well, it was wrong. And then they probably didn't realize how serious an offense it is to God to
mm-hmm.
Those sins to the law of the
Yes, Anna.
For Adam and Eve to be aware that they had
Cain slew his brother, and am I my brother's keeper? They've made excuses and so on, but by the law of the knowledge of sin. We read 21, didn't we?
Yes.
Right, but now, where's this now? Where's the now? Now, it's when the Lord, what has already happened as Paul is writing this in AD 60 or thereabouts? Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. Why was he crucified?
For our sins.
For the sins. The sins of just the elect, just a certain group of people, sins of the whole world. And so he's died, and now, and the Holy Spirit came at the day of Pentecost, so in the age of grace, as Tammy said, now, what is true? What is true about the righteousness of God? Without the law. What is true? It's manifested. It's being witnessed to the law and the prophets. In other words, what is righteousness and how do people get righteousness? Can people on their own be righteous? No? That's the end.
The blood of Christ.
Alright.
His righteousness.
Perfect. God is given, can give the righteousness by genuine faith in Him, can imply, can bestow upon the sinners His righteousness. So righteousness of God is manifest for the law, witness for the law and prophets. Did we read 22 yet or not?
Yes?
Okay. Now it defines the righteousness of God. What is the definition of receiving the righteousness of God? By faith. What is it?
Confess your sin.
Well, according to verse 22, what's the way of receiving righteousness of God?
Faith in Jesus Christ.
Now, what type of genitive is this of? Objective genitive or subjective genitive?
Subject.
Well, subject would be Christ's faith. See, the hyper-Calvinists apply all these ofs. Faith of Christ means Christ got to give you the faith, otherwise you can't be saved. What is that? That's a subjective genitive. What does objective genitive mean?
Faith in Christ.
Faith in Christ. Faith in Christ is the object of our faith. See, there's two types of genitives in the Greek language, and love is good. It's a good translation. We've got to understand which one it is, and that's why the hyper-Calvinists are wrong. Because they interpret all these ofs as subjective genitive. Christ's faith. In other words, you can't be saved. Christ's got to give you faith. No, you've got to give faith in Christ. See, objective, the object of our faith is Christ. So that's how righteousness comes, which is by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, to whom is this righteousness offered? Okay, it's unto all. But who really gets it in verse number 22? All right. Upon all them that believe. In other words, believe who? Believe what? What kind of belief is it? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Genuine faith, not just simply the head faith, but genuine faith in Christ. That's a very important thing. Do all churches teach this means of getting righteousness of God? No, they don't. There's very, very few that teach that, but the scripture is very clear. It's manifest to witness by the law of God, the righteousness of God, without the law, the righteousness of God, which is by faith of, which is objective in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's unto all. Now, what does the hyper-Calvinist say the offer of salvation is for whom? Just the elect. That's the only one's offered. If you're not elect, forget it. Just go about your business. But it's unto all, but it's upon all them that believe genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only ones that have this. What does it mean there's no difference? No Jew or Gentile, no difference of any kind. You didn't read 23 yet, did we? Let's read 23, 24, and 25 together. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. All right, verse 23. How many people does God consider to be sinners?
The whole world.
The whole world, all have sinned. What does it mean to come short? What does that mean?
Mr.
Mark, was it?
You don't want to admit it.
Don't want to admit it,
possibly.
Don't measure up. Come short of the glory of God. Oh, that the people in this world believe this first? A lot of people know, a lot of the ones who believe the Bible believe it, but the rest of the people, they're not sinners. They have not come short. They're going to be doing the good works. And then in verse 24, it uses that word justified again. What is justification again? Pastor Dan?
Declare righteous.
To declare someone righteous. God can declare people righteous. And how is justification taken care of? How is that achieved in verse 24? By redemption. What is it? Redemption is in Christ Jesus. And what does freely mean? Without any cause, without any works, without any deeds, without paying a price. No cost to us. Cost the Lord Jesus His death on the cross of Calvary, but justified freely by His grace. Who's the His refer back to? Lord Jesus Christ's grace and God the Father's grace. What does grace mean? God's grace is Christ's grace. What else? This great disgracement. Or is it unmerited faith? Unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. Getting something that we don't deserve. And that's how we get justification, being declared righteous. We don't deserve it. Christ died for the sins, our sins. If we trust Him as our Savior, God gives us, declares us righteous. Now, if we're declared righteous, does that mean we're definitely righteous in what we do and everything we do today in this world? No. What's the difference between being righteous and having God declare us to be righteous? What's the difference? Yes, Tammy?
Positionally
in the books of heaven, practically on earth, we're just, we got this sinful flesh that's just always with us, and we got problems. Well, we ought to aim at being righteous on this earth. But as far as the books of heaven, if we're in Christ, trusting Him genuinely, He stamps us absolutely righteous in His sight. That's the only way we can get to heaven, if He stamps us righteous in His sight. And we got to aim at righteousness, but we're not righteous down here. We've got to aim at it. And what's the old saying? If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. Justify your advisory. What's the means of justification in verse 24? By His grace,
redemption.
Through redemption. What does redemption mean? To being bought back, being bought back. Redeem means to buy back out of the slave market of sin. Who is the only one that can buy sinners back to Himself? Lord Jesus Christ. Redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He's the only one that can buy us back and redeem us. We read 25, didn't we?
Yeah.
Now, notice whom. Who's the whom referred back to in verse 25? The Lord Jesus Christ. Whom God, who's that, who's God referred to here? Who's God, what's the reference here?
Father.
God the Father. How many persons are there in the Trinity?
Three.
And what are the, who are the three?
Father.
God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And usually when it's just God, many times it's God the Father. In this case, that's whom goes back to Christ Jesus, God the Son, whom God, God the Father, has set forth. What does set forth mean? Set forth. Pastor Dan.
Put forward.
Put forward, declared, set forth, to be a propitiation. What does propitiation mean? Satisfaction. That is, God is satisfied with the work of His Son. The New International Version wipes out that word propitiation. Many other new versions wipe it right out. Doesn't even occur in the book. Too big for these fellows. But He set forth the Lord Jesus to be propitiation. How do you get that in verse 25? How do you get propitiation, God's sanctuary? Faith in His blood. Who's the His referred to here? The Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in His blood. In what sense His blood? What blood? What type of blood? When does this take place? And where does it take place? When the blood was coursing through His veins upon this earth?
No.
What does it mean, faith in His blood?
Well, it applied to the mercy seat.
By the mercy up there, yes. What else? Even before it applies to the mercy seat, what else?
It was perfect.
Pastor Dan?
On the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ, which shed His blood.
On the cross of Calvary.
Which was atoned for our sins.
Shed His blood to forgive our sins. That's right. To atone for our sins. There is faith in His blood. There is the shed blood of Christ that can save when we trust in Him. And salvation by faith in His blood. All these hymns that we sing, back and forth, all kinds of power in the blood, all these things. It's the shed blood of Christ at the cross of Calvary. And then He did put that at the mercy seat of heaven, after we believe that after the resurrection. Then, what does it mean to declare His righteousness? Whose righteousness is speaking up here today? To declare His righteousness. Probably the Lord righteous, the Lord Jesus Christ. For the remission of sins. Remission meaning what?
Removal.
Wiping out, to change, pardon, all these things. Remission of sins that are past. And Colossians says, having forgiven you all sins, past, present, and future. This is sins that are past. And what does it mean through the forbearance of that? What's forbearance mean?
Long
suffering, all right. He's just biding His time, and the sins that are past. Did we read 26 yet?
No,
we didn't. Let's read 26, 27, and 28. Then we'll stop right those verses. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. For His boasting then, it is excluded by what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. This is one verse 26. I want to stop before we get that one. Forbearance to declare at this time. What time do you refer to, do you think, there? Could be age of grace. What else? What happened? What time? When did this take place, this whole event of propitiation? At the cross of Calvary, probably, to declare at this time, His righteousness. Whose righteousness is referred to there? Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness. Now, that He might be two things. What are the two things the Lord Jesus wants to be in every person's heart? Just and
justified.
What's the difference between those two words?
What Lord Jesus Christ is, and the other is something that He gives.
Okay, one is His character. He's just, absolutely perfect and righteous, but justified, the one that declares someone else to be just by genuine faith in Him. Anna?
Just is an attitude, and justifier is a noun.
That's good. Just is an adjective. Justifier. Justifier is a noun. One that's a justifier is a noun. That's right. And justify is a verb, isn't it? So we have adjective, verb, and noun. All these things are... Now, he's got to be the one that justifies. Who's the him referred to in verse 26? Justified him.
Anyone that believes in Christ.
Anyone that believes. Now, what kind of belief is that? Heart belief. Strong, sincere, real. Not these people just talk, but have a genuine faith in believing Lord Jesus Christ. First stop in verse 26 for tonight. And remember, next Thursday, we hope to see you over there at the Deansburg outside of meeting, and also Wednesday. That's Anna.
The meeting on Wednesday starts at 9.
9 in the morning. That's right.
And
it
goes 9. 9 to 9
okay. That's right. 9 in the morning to 9 p.m. So, join us if you can. Any other comments or questions before we close tonight? We'll stop right there at verse 26. Okay. Any other comments or questions? Well, let's close then with a word of prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Lord Jesus. We thank you that we can see through thy word. Thou hast declared every single person in this world to be sinners before thee in thy sight. And yet we thank thee for the Lord Jesus, who died upon the cross of Calvary, bearing the sins of the world in his own body. That by genuine faith and trust in him, we who are sinners can be declared absolutely righteous in thy sight in the books of heaven. We thank you for this wonderful privilege, this blessing that thou hast given to those that trust in our Savior, and be any of those who have not yet perfectly done this in our service tonight or in our church service or listening by other means. May this be the time that they do this genuine faith in our Savior. Guide us and direct us, especially be with us in our Dean Burgon meeting next Wednesday and Thursday. Right here in Collinswood, and guide us and direct us and bring us back safely on the Lord's Day as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming.
But they took her up there.
Walmart that we usually, I don't know. I'm not that familiar with
Rob's got a kid.
I just know it's all. Yeah,
he said I'd take the kids up there. They took the kids up there.
I remember this.
The fourth thing, they took the fish up there. Now he's got...
Thank you, Barbara.
That's something on Monday.
Yes, thank
you.
The next driver, I think, are right. And you go down, and then you go down to the second light, which is the driver's place, and take a left. Then you go into the next light, which is the entrance to the Walmart and all that. I want to talk about the water stuff in a minute. I got to get some books.